We welcome you back to Open Court with Fairfield head basketball coach Chris Casey, along with the coach, I'm Bob Huestler, joined by my broadcast partner of 19 years, former Fairfield great, Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis, as we all get close to the start of another season of Fairfield Stags basketball. Stags point guard and tri-captain Braden Sparks is with us today. A little bit of a twist this season with Open Court. We're going to spend the majority of time here with Coach Casey, but please take note that another podcast will drop soon. That's going to be called our Open Court Player Edition. We'll be doing that all season, the regular Open Court with Coach Casey every other week or so, and at the same time, a podcast with Joe, me, and one of the Stags. So great to have Tri-Captain Braden Sparks with us to get things going this season. Be sure to check out Open Court Player Edition to hear more from Braden. All right, Coach, let's jump right into it. We were down in Richmond, Virginia just a few days ago. Excellent preseason test against a very good Virginia Commonwealth team. What were the things you wanted to see from the Stags in that exhibition game, and what were the things you did see that pleased you, and maybe what didn't please you, things you need to work on?
Yeah, firstly, I would say about the opportunity to go down there and play that exhibition game, we got exactly what we needed out of it. I thought it was a fantastic trip for us. What I told the guys is this, Bob. Obviously, there's a scoreboard for this game, and everybody's trying to win. You know, that goes without saying. But what was more important to me was two areas. Firstly, are we competing with energy, with effort, with great attitude, with camaraderie? Are we doing it every possession? Are we playing hard every possession? That was extremely important to me and paramount to the scoreboard. And the second thing that we talked about that was also paramount to the scoreboard to me was, are we doing the things that we work on? Are we playing the way we want to play? Are we playing defensively with our ball screen coverages correct? With our positioning on the floor correct? With our full court pressure correct? Are we getting deflections? You know, we're tracking deflections. Are we getting deflections, which indicates the activity of our defense? Are we rebounding the ball defensively across the board, you know, from guards all the way to forwards? All those things were paramount to me, to the scoreboard. And, you know, watching the game live, I thought we competed really, really hard, had great energy. And I thought we did a good job of executing what we wanted to offensively and defensively with a lot of room for improvement. We're basically talking about getting the details correct. The teams that win get the details correct. So right now, at this point in time, we got the playing hard part and the camaraderie and the energy correct. Now we got to get more details right on both ends of the floor.
Chris, tell our listeners, how do you go about breaking down the film? Do you take it home yourself, watch it? Does everyone take it home, all your staff? Do you sit as a staff? How do you look for the goods and bads, and just overall, how do you view a game, any game?
Yeah. So a couple things in that, Joe. That's a great question. So the first thing is everybody takes the game home and watches it on the staff. And then what I'll say to the staff is, you know, that night, if it's a day game, or the next day, if it's a night game, they'll give me feedback directly via text or via phone conversation about what they thought of the game and input that they had on personnel. And I'll take that into account. I always watch the game right after the game, and then I watch it again and I cut it. And I cut the things that I want to show to the team. In this case, what we did was we did all defensive stuff the day after and then practiced. The next day, we did all offensive clips and then practiced. You don't really have that luxury during the course of the season, you know, so I'll cut down on the number of clips and watch.
You don't have the time.
Yeah, you don't have the time because the games come fast, and we try to be a little more specific. You know, not that we're not specific now with doing offense one day, defense the other day, but I think it's more important for them to see more right now to help us with our execution and details on both ends. And then when we get into the season, it'll be the same type of clips, but less clips. And hopefully we're doing those things better, which require less clips.
I'm curious, Coach, what are the things that you're seeing today, literally today, as you practice in preparation for the opener at Penn State that maybe you weren't seeing even 1 month ago from this team? And naturally, during any preseason, you're going to see improvement in certain areas. But anything in particular jump out when I ask you, okay, 1 month ago we weren't able to do this, but now we're getting much better at it?
Yeah, I think there's a few areas. I'm going to go backwards just for 1 second, Joe, and add to the idea of film. And maybe, you know, Braden, if you want to jump in here and comment on that too. In addition to that, what our staff does, and they do a great job of it, they may grab a guy and say to Braden, hey, Braden, you got 20 minutes here between class and before you grab something, come on over, let's watch 10 clips of your middle ball screen defense, you know, or it might be a specific area, but they do a really, really good job of grabbing guys and just doing a little bit of extra film work, because the film is a great teacher. You know, when you see it, it kind of gives you a better idea and a better feel for the concepts. To go to your question, Bob, unless Braden, you want to jump in on that with the film at all and talk about some of that individual film?
Yeah, I would say it helps tremendously. I go in there and watch film with, you know, Taj, Coach Scott, just on, you know, defensive clips or even ball screen reads where I can, you know, if I have two on the ball, get rid of it, or maybe close out, you got to shoot that one, or you should drive this, just trying to help me figure out any type of way I can improve my game just to help everybody. So
yeah. And the thing I think they do a great job of it with, because I don't sit in on those, but I overhear them or we talk about them. They do a great job of not giving too much. You know, I think when you give guys a lot of if-then statements, it slows their feet down and their instincts mm-hmm. down. And I think they do a really good job of not doing that, but also getting teaching points across. To go back to your question, Bob, about what we're seeing now that we weren't seeing a month ago, I would say a couple things. I think our defensive intensity is ramped up and our understanding of what we want defensively has gotten better. I think we've gotten a little bit better in the full court. We've gotten a little bit better, and, you know, these are maybe technical terms that our listeners may not totally understand, but, you know, what we call overloading the eye, being on the nail, being on the eye, and being in help defense when the ball's on one side of the court, and also doing that in your full court defense. I think we're doing a little bit better job of rebounding than we did a month ago. You know, if you look at the numbers, we out-rebounded Stony Brook on that trip percentage-wise, and we were dead even with VCU, who's a very athletic and has good size. So I think we've improved there. On the offensive end, too many turnovers in our first scrimmage. We only had 11 turnovers in that VCU scrimmage, and they're pressing you the whole game. So I was happy with that. We had a very low turnover rate in that game and a very low turnover percentage. I think we have a better idea of what we're trying to do offensively. But I think what we have to improve on is when there's five back. Like, what I like about us now, Bob, offensively, is our foot is on the gas and we're playing fast. What we have to get to now is understanding, you know, that, okay, there's five back and now the ball has to move side to side. I think, you know, there's a couple, not a lot, but a couple too many occasions where we're trying to get something off the first action offensively without numbers when there's five guys back, and that's not necessarily going to happen. The ball's going to have to hit two, three sides in order to get the defense out of alignment and give you an opportunity to attack a closeout or get a drive and pitch three. And it also improves your offensive rebounding, because if the defense chases, it's a little bit harder for them to block out. So those are some areas I'd like to see us do better, and along with some areas I think we've improved in over the last month.
Chris, so high-scoring games excite players. Everyone wants to shoot the three, look at their offensive numbers. Fans love it. How important, it's kind of a segue into what you're talking about, but how important is it to you to emphasize to the guys, you also want to become a team that can grind out ugly defensive wins?
Yeah, here's how it's important, Joe, in that regard. The message we send all the time is defense fuels offense. You know, the more stops you get, the more times you can get out and transition. And I think, you know, what becomes important in grinded defensive games, I think you have to force the way you want to play as much as possible on teams. So on the offensive end, you take care of the ball, your offensive rebound well, you make shots, finish plays around the basket, that's going to put you in pressure. If you can be in pressure, you can pick up the pace of the game because of pressure. On the defensive end, if you can get stops and defensive rebounds, that's going to help put you in transition and fuel your offense. So when we talk about grinded out defensive games, I think, you know, not we don't want to avoid those, but we want to create grinded out defense for the entire game. You know, we've gone to charting deflections now. We chart them in practice, and they're really privy to the coaching staff more so than the players. And we chart them in games, and you're going to see, and we did it in the scrimmages, you know, there'll be a clipboard with the number of current deflections on it, along with the number of current paint touches on offense. And there's certain numbers we want to reach, and those numbers are pretty good indicators of a good percentage chance to win. So, you know, grind it out games defensively. More so, I want to grind people defensively the entire game, you know, to create offense and fuel offense.
Coach, looking back to last season, statistically, and last season was just that. We're looking forward, but not backward. But you look at the shooting percentage for the team, the defensive field goal percentage and points allowed, and rebounding. None of them were where you would want them to be. If there was one single thing out of those three categories, just take shooting percentage, defense, any way you want to look at it, and rebounding. What's the one thing this year that has to be improved over last season statistically?
Well, I would say to you, Bob, there's not one thing. They all have to improve.
But
if
I could pin you down.
Yeah, there's not one I'm going to give you because, okay. You know, when we recruited this season, like this was our first, this group we have is our first full recruiting cycle, and I'm really pleased with it. And what we did when we recruited is we made a commitment to improve size across the board, mm-hmm. not necessarily with a 7-footer, you know, more so size across the board. We wanted to improve athleticism and physicality, which I believe we did. I know we did. And we wanted to improve shot making. And I know we did that too. So those were the areas we wanted to improve. And that in turn will improve defensive field goal percentage. It will improve rebounding. It will improve shot making. So that was the plan of attack on that. So I'm not avoiding your question, but they were all areas of concern, and we wanted to improve them all. We were much better at those areas the year before. It resulted in wins. And, you know, that group last year, Bob, I think they gave us what they had. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we needed to be better. You know, I don't know that our camaraderie was as good as the year before or as it is now. I don't know that our depth and our physicality and athleticism and was as good as it is now or as it was the previous year. So those were all areas we looked at and we jumped on in trying to improve. And I don't know, Braden, you were here last year and you had a really good end of the season, you know, averaging double figures, and defensively you got a lot better. Do you see differences in where this group is now? And this is not in any way negative towards last year's group, because like I said, I think they gave us what they had. I didn't feel like we had enough. I feel that's a little bit different this year in terms of, you know, talent level and also camaraderie and commitment to what we're doing. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you hit it right on the nail. Camaraderie and just how we interact with each other and how we're always together. It plays a big part on the court, and I believe you guys will see it throughout the year as well.
Yeah, Braden talks to us about that in the player edition, Open Court, which will be dropping soon if it hasn't dropped already. I wanted to follow up, Coach, also based on the fact that you and your staff last year, when you brought in last year's group, the newcomers, and had a lot to replace. You were, along with so many hundreds of other staffs in this country, are dealing with an entirely new landscape when it comes to recruiting. How much did you benefit from having gone through it once in a very dramatic way? I mean, you had a lot to replace and then, you know, tried to do it. Now you've done it again, replaced, you have 8 new players this year. So how much did it help having gone through this once, and how much better do you think that you were able to go out and accomplish, hopefully, what has been a, you know, a great recruiting coup here?
Yeah, so I would say this about what you're asking, Bob. We, when we recruited this year, our plan was to stay, because I think this is this type of university. It's a great university, and you know the value proposition of this university for athletes on the field of play and off the field of play is fantastic. I don't think it's the type of atmosphere where you're going to go into portal, and if you need eight guys, you're going to get eight portal guys and get eight transfer. It's not. I don't think it's that type of place, and I don't mean that as a negative or a positive. You know, I mean it as, you know, I think you want to recruit what fits Fairfield. This is a great opportunity for young men, and you want to recruit what fits that opportunity. So we committed ourselves to trying to stay as close to the traditional model of recruiting as possible. We brought in five freshmen, all of whom I think are very good. And then we supplemented that with a couple portal additions from higher levels that transferred down. And I think that's the way you have to do it here. I think we did it successfully last year, and we want to continue that. And now, of course, the challenge is with young players, when they perform well, you have to find ways to retain them. Because I do believe the best teams on this level, on that mid-major level, are the teams that can have some core of retention from year to year. I think that helps you tremendously.
Yeah, that's an interesting philosophy. It's not one that everybody embraces right now. I'm talking about coaching staffs. You have, as you said, brought in five freshmen, and some of them are getting pretty good reviews early in the season. If you were to say, okay, this group, meaning just the freshmen, not the transfers, but the true freshmen, is it safe to say that maybe as a group so far they've exceeded expectations, or right where you would expect them to be at this time, or how would you grade it out, albeit before a real game has even been played?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. First, I'm not an expectations guy. You know, I want more out of them all the time. You know, that's my expectation. You know, in coaching them, I'm going to try to drive them to be the best that they can be. So I don't have a singular expectation or a level. As far as, you know, how they're performing, I'm really pleased with them. I think they're picking up what we're trying to do at a pretty good pace. You know, this last exhibition game at VCU, we have six guys on our roster that played their first Division I game, albeit an exhibition game. It was their first game. And out of the 200 minutes in the game, they played like 85-plus of those minutes. So they're going to impact us, and they're going to impact us in a positive way. And I've been pleased with their effort, their coachability, their ability to pick up the concepts that we're trying to get across, and I've been pleased with how hard they play. So overall, yeah, definitely happy with where they're at right now, and also with the idea of they got a lot more room for growth, and as does this team. I think, you know, maybe more so than a lot of teams, we have a lot of room for growth because of inexperience and inexperience playing together.
So we all agree the turnover in rosters, your roster, everybody's roster is great. And you and I have kind of talked about this, and I don't know if there's a question involved here, but last year I thought at this time that when the season started, you played a lot of guys. And I'm going to be critical, maybe too many guys. Where are you at in terms of that this year? Do you have, I know it's a dreaded word for you, with rotation? You seem like you're further along. I know you named three captains. Is the leadership better? Because we know it's just harder now with all the new guys to determine what your rotation is going to be, what your leadership is going to be. But how do you stand, I guess, with that statement I made?
Yeah, I would say a couple things on that, Joe. First, rotations to me are for veteran teams. You know, when you have guys back, you obviously know where guys are going to plug in. You have a better idea with what you're going to get from. I have that with Braden. You know, he's an absolute guy that's going to be in a rotation and play a big part in it, because I know what he is. I know what he's going to give us. I know how he competes. I know what he is day to day. We don't have a lot of guys at that point right now. So do I have a rotation? The answer to that is no. You know, there's too much inexperience and too many new guys to say that. And we all know that during the course of the season, some guys can play their way in and some guys can play their way out. And that's kind of the way it works. So going into this game against Penn State, there's no absolute rotation. I do have in my mind, you know, who I'm going to start and who's going to, you know, be off the bench early on and, you know, who I'm going to maybe find a few less minutes for. But that certainly can change as the year goes on. So my hopes is maybe to have that a little more solidified when you get into MAC conference play. But right now, here's my thing. When you got new guys, you know, here's the rotation. When we push your button and you go in the game, do your job and do it well. And then you're on the floor longer. And if you don't know what we're doing and you don't do your job well and you're not ready when we push your button, your minutes change. That's my idea of a rotation now.
Look, I know you addressed the word expectations. Fans, of course, love that sort of stuff. And the conference does put out the preseason poll. And that's the coaches who vote in this. And they pick Fairfield 8th. I have a feeling I know where you're going to go with the answer. But when you see Fairfield picked as 8th, is there any incentive there? Does that make you say, you know what, we're going to show a few people?
Pay no attention to it at all. Tennessee and Penn State were picked 1 and 2 when the college football season started. And a couple weeks ago, they weren't even ranked in the top 25. So Mount was picked 11th last season and won the league and went to the NCAA tournament. So I put zero on any of that in both ways too.
Right.
If we were picked number one, I would pay no attention to that either.
Is there any way you could use it as bulletin board material, as they like to say?
I don't know, Braden. Are we bulletin board material guys? I might bring up stuff like that once in a while, but more so I'm about what we're doing. Yeah. Does that make sense? I mean, you tell me.
Yeah.
You live it. So
we're always 80% of us, 20% everybody else. Kind of, we just focus on what we do. Everything else will fall in line. So,
well, I'm going to keep you on the spot. So it's
I wouldn't want nothing else, Joe.
So it's Monday night. You're down one. Everybody's watching. You got a chance to beat a high level team. You have the ball. You call timeout. What's your first option on the perimeter, and who's your go to guy inside?
Well, first, how close are you to the bench? Can I throw you in the game? Are you available or you're not available? Are you on load management right now?
Well, it's funny you brought that up because I was at practice this morning and on the sideline was Troy Bradford, myself, Tyler Nelson, and Brent Wall. So yeah. I made a comment joking late that the four best guards were sitting on the bench.
Yeah. We have one of the things I've liked a lot, and we've had a lot of, you know, basketball alums and people come through practice, which I kind of like, you know. But anyway, to go back to your question, it's not Monday night. It is currently Thursday night, so I don't have an absolute answer to that.
I'm raising my eyebrows.
What are you giving me for? Are we in the 1-1? Are we in the double bonus? What are we in?
I don't know. We don't have enough time to go.
We're
going to
give the ball to Braden. He's sitting right there, and I think he'd be a good choice.
My answer to that would be we have a few ISOs that we have in, you know, and I think they go to the right guys. I think basically I'd make that decision on who's going what during the course of that game, right? You know, Braden would certainly be one of the guys in that consideration. And also part of it is how are they defending certain things? You know, are they defending ball screens well, but not necessarily screening situations? You know, that might run something to get somebody loose on a screen and get them a shot. Are they guarding the ball well? Or are they doing a lousy job guarding the ball? I might want to ISO a guy and let him go off the dribble. So it kind of depends on also what's going on in the game.
I thought you were going to tell me that depends on who makes the most NIL money. Maybe that's for another day.
Yeah,
I think that's
seasons.
Another podcast, Joe. So you got
to. We're going to start to wrap this one up. I wanted to ask you about injuries. You are dealing with some of them right now. Let's start with Peyton Smith. We haven't seen him in the preseason so far. Where is he at? What's he dealing with? What's the prognosis?
Yeah, he's working on his rehab still. He's in running progression. So, you know, I really don't have, Bob, a date that he's back. Obviously, we hope he gets back soon. But everybody's got to give him a minute. You know, he's coming off an injury. He's going through, you know, rehab. He's going through running progression. He's going to have to practice to get his sea legs under him again. So he's a little bit away right now.
Matt Curtis?
Matt's, you know, unfortunately battled injuries his entire career. So right now he's you know, waiting on some results on an MRI, and that'll give us an idea of when he may be back.
And Mike Rogan didn't play at VCU. Was he dealing with something?
No, Mike is fine. That was more a, you know, that was more, Joe, that was more a rotation decision. So.
There you go.
And we're getting close to the start of the new season. First opponents, the most, next opponent's the most important. That's Penn State. What are you looking at as far as them as your first game matchup? What do we expect? How good are they? What are the opportunities here to be gained?
Yeah, I mean, how good they are, they're a Big Ten team. So they should be good, and I'm sure they are. I've watched a little bit of film on them. You know, again, I'm 80% us, 20% them. So I'm more concerned about what we're doing. And the message to the guys is going to be, obviously, we're trying to win, but I want them focused more on do your job, every possession, what you're supposed to be doing, and do it well. I want them paying attention to that. Penn State will be big. They'll be physical. They're going to run a lot of five out. They'll rebound the ball well. They'll drive the ball well. You know, so we're going to have to be good in all those areas. And then obviously to win on the road, you got to guard, rebound, and you don't want to turn the ball over. Those are points of emphasis.
All right. And that point to the podcast, Joe, any final questions?
Yeah. I do know that you and your wife and your family do a good job taking the team into your own family. I see that. I hear that. And I was at practice today, and I saw you got your wife involved. And what were those, Halloween trick-or-treat gifts? Or I know back in the day that'd be considered an additive incentive.
Extra benefit.
But yeah, now
you'd be on probation for 2 years for that. Now you can bring a guy in and pay him $8 million to play college basketball.
In the wild west now, anything goes. But what was going on at the end of practice?
Yeah. I'll give you some details on it. Like it's more personal stuff for our guys. But, you know, our guys live here on campus. They don't live away. They don't live at home, you know, so they don't get to see their families. And, you know, my wife and I and my daughters, we would and the staff, too. We'd never pretend to take the place of family. But you know, we want our guys to know that, you know, they're cared about. And so what my wife did is, you know, she does on holidays. Halloween's coming up. So she made all the guys a Halloween trick-or-treat bag, you know, with some treats in there for them. And she brought lunch up for the staff. She does that periodically, too. So I didn't get any because they hammered the beef stew, and so none of it was for me. But they all got a little bit to eat. So I'm really proud of her. She's, you know, this business is really, really hard, you know, as we all know. And it's probably harder on family, you know, and on your wife because they live and die with everything that goes on. And, you know, they're on the side and they can't do a lot to help you. You know, because it's really on you. And she's been so supportive over the years and been such a part of what we do. And I'm just really fortunate to have her involved. And I'm glad our guys, it's fun to see, you know, when she comes up, you know, Braden gives her a big hug or and they have a conversation, how you feeling? You know, it's all good stuff. I like that part of it. I think that's a big part of coaching.
Well, Chris, we're pleased to be doing this again with you. Really enjoy all the time you give us. You couldn't be more generous than you are with your time, so just wanted to make sure we say for the record we appreciate that very much and looking forward to doing that all season.
Likewise, Bob. I always enjoy these conversations.
Yep, and three road games to get the Stag season going. We talked about the most important game is the next game. That's the season opener at Penn State on Monday, and then road games against NJIT and Seton Hall before the Stags return home to play their home opener in the tournament, the Mahoney Classic, against Stonehill. So that'll do it for this edition of Open Court with Chris Casey. Want to thank our podcast engineer, Carlton Best. And again, a reminder to watch for Open Court Player Edition with Tri-Captain Braden Sparks. He'll be our first guest of the season. And we will join you here again on Open Court sometime before that home opener, November 14th, the Mahoney Classic game versus Stonehill. So for Chris Casey and for the Fairfield Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis, I'm Bob Huesler. So long. Thanks for listening to Open Court.